Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome to Knife Talk. This is a knife-related podcast. Actually, the number one knife-related podcast on the whole germ-infested planet and the number one call-in show podcast in the makery, in the maker world. I'm Jeff Fader, Fader Knives. I'm here with the Commandant, Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives, and Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts. Brave new world out there, guys.
Certainly is. Certainly is.
That's it, guys. So this is the, listen, if this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, we've just cracked the code. So we are able to take phone calls. And the key is, if you want to be on the show as a caller, if you go to our Instagram, which is Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and then join us, like our new bots, we got to talk about that. Well, yeah. You can actually, we give a time, and then there's a time for you to hit the, go into the DMs, hit the record button at the top, and you can join the show.
Hmm.
So it's
and
been,
we had some fun last week.
It's somehow been crazy.
We were trying to work it out last week, so we didn't quite know what we were doing, and we had calls stacked up. It was a lot of fun. So what we decided to do this week is start calls a half hour into the show. That way we get a chance to sort of get into the show a little bit rather than just be rushed off our feet, which was, yeah,
so
crazy.
So we can talk more about, more than me trying to kill my neighbor.
Exactly, yeah. If nobody listened to the show before last week, it was basically Mareko saying how he's trying to kill his neighbor and then manic phone calls from people.
It was mayhem.
Bad episode of Frasier.
The crazy part is this particular week, we've kind of been inundated with like thieves, scams, and bots.
Yeah.
Like all three of us.
Yeah. It's got to the point where my business Instagram, I'm rarely using now. Simply because I'm just getting constant sort of DMs from, you know, what seem to be Thai lady boys asking me if I'd like to see their surprises.
Really?
I've had to turn off all notifications. I'm literally getting dozens a day, and it's becoming a bit unusable. But that sort of culminated?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You know the word.
Of course.
Today, so just before lunch, I'm in the car driving, and all of a sudden my phone blows up. Literally, bang, bang, bang. Vibrate, 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 vibrate. I'm looking on my screen, and it's all, you have a new follower on Knife Talk Podcast. At first, I thought maybe we've been like mentioned somewhere and, you know, it's getting a lot of attention. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just because people are starting to realize we're Knife Talk Podcast, not just Knife Talk, which is what we've been promoting for the last 4 years, like idiots. But it wasn't. So on closer inspection, looking, we've been followed by about, what is it now, Jeff, about 600?
Dude, since this morning, we've probably gotten... It's up to 9,061. We were at like 7-something at 5 this morning. 5 a.m. this morning, it was like 7-something. So Jesus. We got 200. No, we got 2,000. We got almost 1,000 and a half.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and these are just bots following us in super fast succession. Looking at every account, You know, they've got like two followers. They're, you know, it's bizarre. It's really bizarre. And it's not good because, you know, we want followers who want to engage with us. We want, you know, proper
followers. And real human beings, right?
Exactly, exactly. Wow. Yeah, so we've got a couple of theories why this could have happened. Our biggest fear is that we'll get our account closed down because, you know, these obviously aren't real people. It's almost as if we're trying to hack the system of it, which we're certainly not. So, yeah, we're hoping, you know, we're good to go, that we're not going to get the account, you know, taken off us. But, yeah, it's just completely bonkers and bizarre. It's a weird one.
But this is not just this. I mean, Mareko, you got almost scammed too this week.
Yeah. So I had a message saying that some company that gives like hands out the blue, or actually it said that they were acting as if they're Instagram, and offering to get me my a blue verification badge, like the little check mark. And right off the bat, it was really confusing because I feel like anything I've heard from other people or read somewhere is that it just suddenly appears. All of a sudden, one day, there's no like...
Really?
Yeah.
You can apply,
but like Fingal. I was actually talking to Fingal. First person I reached out to after you guys was Fingal, and he said, yeah, no, it just showed up one day.
He's full of shit. Fingal is so full of shit. He's like half in the bag, rolling around with the pigs.
He was sending them sausages, sending them cheese.
30 days, he's applying for the blue check. Shut the fuck. Fingal, I don't know what's happening. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, man. So full of shit.
And then Craig sent us a link showing us how some of these scammers work. And basically what was sent to me is that they sent me to a website where I would have to like log in and put in my password. And I think what actually happens is once you do that, they see that and they record that password. And then they go in and like Craig was messaging with us, you know, they basically change your password of your account and then sell your account and you have like no access to it anymore.
Yeah. They take control of it, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's an unwanted takeover.
That video I sent, and I don't know if any of our listeners have seen it. So Mark Rober, who's like the YouTuber at the moment, you know, he's ex-NASA, like scientist, very good at explaining things. And he's got this great channel where he teaches kids how to do like sciencey stuff. But, you know, adults too, it's just really cool. But he did this video on how scamming is becoming such like huge business, you know, and they're scamming people out of tens and tens of thousands every day. And he just shows some of the methods that they use. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes, that video. But if you just search Mark Rober on YouTube, it's one of his latest videos.
I think at one point in the video, he says it's like a $20 billion a year industry of scamming people like this. Fucking
and they
nuts.
Prey on, obviously, the vulnerable they're preying on. But once they've scammed you, they'll then sell your details onto another scammer because they know you're prime for it. It's disgusting. But,
it's terrible.
It's scary. It's really scary.
It is. It makes you not want to, you know, after Mareko, you sent us that thing, and then Craig sent us the video this morning when Craig, you sent me a message at like, for me, it was like 4:30 in the morning. It was like, something's wrong. Somebody's taking. We're getting bots. There's something fishy going on the Instagram. Don't do anything. I'm like, oh Jesus! We're being inundated. It was not good.
Yeah, I was out to the house.
Way too early of an April Fool's joke.
Oh. Yeah. I said, well, I was out
of
the house.
What if one of the other podcasts were sending all these bots our way?
I those said to Craig that it was probably Knife Talk Down Under.
Those Aussies. You can't trust them. And they're always drunk. They wouldn't remember doing it. We'll just blame the Aussies.
That reminds me. Just for the trifecta of thieves and scammers, somebody followed me last weekend, and I looked to see. Sometimes what I try to do is, like, especially if they're these, you know, the scamming knife companies in you know, the Middle East and the desert and stuff like that. You know it when you see it. And sometimes I just block them because I just want nothing to do with them. But you know, when you look at their thumbnails, you know them when you see them. Yeah. So one of these kind of names turned up, and I looked at their thumbnail, and I saw something that looked just like. Oh my God, this guy has one of my knives with a painted Saya. So a couple months ago, I started to do kind of take my old sculpture ideas of painted lures, and then I made them into a. I took a saya and I painted the wooden saya. I carved it and painted it to look like one of my lures. And I did a couple of them, and I really liked them. And it was very clearly, you know, it's years and years of the lures of the way I paint them. Is it's taken years to kind of get to the point where they are. So it was very clear that this was
that's super cool.
It wasn't mine. It was somebody had done my saya. So I sent a message. I showed it to you guys. And then I sent a message to the guy saying, well, that looks familiar. But it was like a fifth-rate job. I mean, it was a super fifth-rate job. Next thing you know, hothead Craig wants to go, you know, send the Knife Talk Wolves or the Knife Talk Vipers, our listeners, after him. And I said, let's just leave him alone. Let's leave him alone. So he then, I guess you sent him a message and I sent him a message. And then he sends me a message saying, hey, I didn't steal this idea, buddy. I found this on Pinterest. There's plenty of people doing this on Pinterest. And not to mention, my child did it in 5 minutes. And no one's trying to copy you, dude. It was like, and I wrote to him like, fuck you. You can't be mad at me for being mad at you. It isn't right. Dude, you stole my shit and now you're trying to fucking lie to me? Yeah. It was like,
then- Then he blocked you, didn't he?
He blocked me a couple times. And then I only sent two pit bulls after him. I sent Mert Tansu, who is like, he is like a monster. And then same thing, I sent Sunset, and both of them immediately replied back. He disabled the comments and stuff like that. But it was like, yeah. It was such a, this week has been filled with violations.
This guy then went onto my account and found an old post of mine from about 2 years ago and put this really like sarky comment saying, I've seen very similar on Pinterest. You need to work harder on your design.
He loves Pinterest, this guy. Oh, he's all about that. And the fucked up thing is like, it's not like he went to like Bass Pro Shops and just like copied a Rapala. He copied my, you know, just every part of it was like a knockoff of what I had done. And it was just like,
completely.
You know, don't fucking blame Pinterest, you shithead. It's like, God.
So what's happening at Instagram? What's happened this week? It's all kicking off.
I'm terrified, to be honest with you. I think this shit's going to fucking drop like a ton of bricks. We'll be at this rate, we're going to be at like 20,000 by Monday.
I think like the boss has gone on holiday and everybody's just like, they're all drinking in work. You know, they're all playing ping pong instead. No work is being done at Instagram. They're just letting it just ride out.
Jesus.
Crazy. So anyway, aside from the scammers and the hustlers, what's been going on? Jeff, what's been going on this week?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago I said how embarrassed I was. I had my landlord came through and my shop was a shit house, and it really made me feel like it was a poor representation of me. And then I started cleaning the shop up, and then I decided I'm fooling around with all these colors in a different way, and I want to see them all better, and I want to have them in a better spot. So I cleared out this back end where all this my material is, and I hung up some paintings from my old shop, and I turned it into this little nook in the shop that I'm calling the Color Lab, because it's so much fun to be back there and kind of put colors together. I've never thrown scraps away, so all the colored scraps I have them, and I've been putting together these new kind of knife handles for me, and it's been so much fun. It's just been this evolution, and really kind of trying to have more of a mindset of when I was a sculptor as a knife maker, and it's been a lot of fun. So I just kind of put together a few things, and I'm getting my orders done, but at the same time I'm like giving myself some time to do some projects that are really kind of exciting. So it's cool. Been a lot of fun.
Nice. Mareko, what's your week been like?
I mean, my week's been pretty standard. I did more work on my kind of secret sword project. And what else? Oh, I got my knife packaged up and sent out to get some pro shots from Coop. So I'm actually going to back up, because last week we only got to talk about me almost killing my neighbor. But I actually did a lot the week before last. I had a couple impromptu kind of Instagram live interviews with Henning Wilkinson, and then I did one with Kurt Hallin, kind of more purposefully, because he had a question. He sent me a question about coffee etching, because I had posted this picture of a knife that had like a really nice coffee etch on it, and so I figured, you know, why not put that up and have it be a conversation for everybody to watch and hopefully maybe learn from. And then I had a nice chat with my friend Paul DiStefano. He's in Staten Island, and he's a super talented maker who's been only doing knives for like 4 years, but he's doing some crazy, really crazy cool kind of like art Bowie stuff. So those like impromptu conversations have been really fun, and I'm looking to do more of those. And I'm trying to think what else. Other than that, it's just kind of the standard Sisyphus day-to-day rolling the rock up the hill kind of shit, you know?
Yeah. Sisyphus. That's right. It's all Sisyphus, isn't it? I thought it was great that you're doing that. I think that you're also, your followers are also appreciating it too, because being able to sit in on those live conversations are really kind of neat.
Yeah, well, and that was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, well, I could call him and we could just chat face to face, or we could do it live and save it, and then maybe it would help somebody else too. So that's what I ended up doing.
Cool.
That's cool.
Cool. Well, I've been finishing off a big batch of table knives for a restaurant in the UK, and I actually had a call from them saying that they want 8 chef knives as well. That was last Saturday, so I've had a week to do these 8. So they're just finished on a belt, just belt finish, and I'm really impressed with them. I'm really, really, really like them. So I think I'm going to be offering more sort of belt finishes, you know, so on a sort of cheaper rate, I suppose.
Sure.
And it's been a bit of a mad rush because I'm really scared of shipping stuff at the moment. Especially to the UK, and this is for a UK restaurant, and they've ordered in the past with me, and you know, I was really pleased that they've come back. But my wife's mother, who now lives in France, is actually going back to the UK for some work stuff. She's got a special sort of license, so she can travel for work. She's going early hours Monday morning, so I've really pushed to get these so she can sort of be my mule, and she can smuggle these across the border.
I was just going to say the same thing.
She's my mule. Yeah.
We were just talking about these scams and thieves and hustlers, and you're pimping out your mother-in-law.
So they can be posted from within the UK to the UK, which is pretty cool. So yeah, so it's been a bit of a crazy week, like a mad rush, but yeah, really pleased with my. Really pleased with the belt finishes that I haven't really been happy with in the past, and I'm taking these up to like 600 on the belt now. Using a bit of leather on the platen, so you know it softens things up, and yeah, really pleased. So it's been a positive week, really positive.
Nice. I think those belt finishes can be really legit, honestly, and it saves. Not only does it save you a bit of time, but then you can kind of pass that savings on to your customers, and I'm sure they're happy about that too. And yeah. I think the real key to getting a good belt finish is just that it has to be consistent. You know, you can't have I've seen some stuff where lines are going kind of every which way, and it's like, well, yeah, that looks like shit. That's a shitty belt finish, and that's what I think a lot of people see when they think of belt finishes. But, you know, honestly, especially in culinary knives, a scratch pattern that's perpendicular to the flow of the length of the blade is standard practice for most commercially made stuff. And if you can just do it right and consistently, like that's a perfectly acceptable look.
I feel like most of the belt finishes on like made knives, like the big guys, I feel like it's coming off a disc grinder. Like the pattern's coming off of a disc grinder as opposed to a belt finish, because they are like semicircular. But I totally agree. I'd love to do a good belt finish. I tell you what, a little tricky poo, is I tried to do, I did a belt finish, and then I did a mustard patina on it, and you couldn't even tell that it was a belt finish.
Ah.
Sure.
I couldn't even tell. I did it for a friend of mine, and I was just like, I wanted to see what it would look like, and I was like, fucking good.
Nice.
You don't see any
lines. Hides all the shit.
You don't see any lines. I mean, you don't see shit. All you see is the goddamn patina. Fuck.
That's the future. Everybody's going to be doing mustard patinas now. Yeah.
I love a mustard patina. Are you kidding me? I had two mustards. I like two mustards. I go two mustards and two different sponges.
Ooh.
Damn right. Fucking A right. It's like a fucking smorgasbord on that knife. I mean, you're kidding me?
I had the image of you throwing like dirty water hot dogs in your face and then the mustards getting on your knives.
Dude,
and that's
I got
how you started
like
the patina.
I got two different guys telling me two different types of mustard. Believe it or not, here's the funny thing. So Jared Thatcher goes, "You got to go Grey Poupon because of the vinegar." So you got the Kentucky Stooge sending me the high level mustard, and then Tomer Botner, high level Tomer Botner, saying find the cheapest mustard you can get. So it's like I grab both of them, and I'm just like, fine. His secret mustard, and he's gonna kill me for this, had a picture of Spider-Man on it. It was from the Spider-Man movie. It was like this shitty Spanish French mustard. No, French mustard. It was a shitty Spanish like dollar store mustard with a fucking picture of Spider-Man on it. I'm like, here you go. That's your secret, fucking Spider-Man.
Winner, winner.
He's a man. He's the man.
Right. We're going to start answering some questions, but just before we do.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat-treating ovens available. Find your next oven at evenheat-kiln.com. To the chopper!
Even Heat. It's the only way. Knife. And we can get you discount on your Even Heat by buying via Soul Ceramics, who are an Even Heat distributor. If you go to knifetalk.net/heat, it'll take you automatically there, and it'll apply a $75 discount on your checkout automatically. And you can spec out your Even Heat there. They've got them all, and you can pick whether you want the tap controller, the LB model, or whatever you want. They do it all. So knifetalk.net/heat to make sure you buy your Even Heats from Soul Ceramics.
And if you have questions, DM Even Heat, because Spence is on the move. Oh, there it goes. Oh, boy, on the dot. Holy shit, on the dot.
Right on the dot.
Hey!
Somebody was right on the dot there. So what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Logan. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. And you got the dogs Cleveland in the background. We're taking this shit. We take this shit seriously. We don't have dogs roaming around the place. What's going on?
We used to.
I got all kinds of shop dogs.
Cleveland rules.
I got two lemurs also.
Well, all right. Well,
two wieners. Well,
no, that's, he didn't say wieners. He said lemurs.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said two wieners.
Logan, what can we do for you? Fucking wieners.
Well, I just called to say hi, and I don't know. Just working on some knives.
Nice. Good for you. Well, thanks
you
for
know
calling.
You know the deal. If you're not calling with a question or a tip, well, you're going to get the Oscar playoff
take
music.
Take the hook with dignity. You're the man, Logan. You're the man. I like that you thought he said, "I'm here with my two wieners."
I thought he said two wieners. Yeah. Well, he's talking about dogs, and I assumed he meant wiener dogs, you know? I don't know. Oh,
there we go.
Oh, geez.
Mayhem continues.
What's your name, and where are you calling from? It's not connecting. I'm going to dump them. Dump them immediately. Where were we?
Oh, by the way, before we get the next call, next week our reeds should be brand new. Brian House has got all of our reeds. He's hopefully recording them all. If he's not drunk dialing us now, he should be. P.S., if he does happen to drunk dial us now, we are going to give him shit because the reeds aren't here. So just to let you know.
Okay, we've got a caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What's up, KTP?
Oh, that sounds like Josh Scott.
Open this motherfucker up.
Oh, my God.
Who let this idiot on?
You did.
You finally made it. What's going on, Josh?
What's up, fellas?
How are you?
What's going on? What's going on? Any questions for us? Any jokes? Amuse us.
Yeah, I got a hot take and I got a question.
A hot take. Go for it.
Yeah, question. Especially with I got a question with finishing Damascus and dipping it in the ferric, and I wanted to ask Mareko if you ever, in between ferric dips, if you get any splotches on the blade.
I mean, ideally, no. What are you doing to the blade? You're getting splotches on the blade.
Oh, snap. That's a shot across the bow, JS.
I'm just teasing.
Of course not, Josh.
No, sometimes it comes out funky as you're etching in the ferric for depth. And I think the key is just to keep scrubbing a blade. So before I even, or let's see, after I finish hand sanding and I dip my blade in the ferric for the very first time, I only let it sit in there for about 10 seconds. And then I pull it out and take a look over the whole thing to make sure the acid is etching the surface of the blade or the steel properly. And if it is, then great. I put it back in and I keep going. If it's not, then I pull it out, kind of clean it off, either with some like a soft sponge and some soap and water, or with usually like a 2000 grit sandpaper, kind of scrub it to kind of do an intermittent kind of cleaning of the steel will do the work. And to clean off whatever needs to go that needs to be cleaned off. Then I'll dip it back in the acid again for only like 10 seconds. I'll pull it back out and I'll take a look. And if it's looking great, then I put it back in the acid and move on. If it's not, then I just kind of rinse and repeat until it's starting to etch properly. And then, but you know, honestly, to me, because I'm doing the coffee etch, I don't really care what's happening in between the ferric etches. Because I'm only doing that for depth, and then I go into the coffee for the contrast. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I usually rub down in between steel wool.
We know all about it, rubbing down.
But yeah, sure. I started using sand paper as well.
Josh, you think we want to hear about you rubbing it down? Come on, man. We just had a guy with two wieners on the last call.
Hey, I got a hot take, too.
Go ahead. Yeah, shoot.
Go for it.
Kydex is the country music of Nightsheet. JSK out, bitches!
I said
language. We don't tolerate language like that on this show. We're going to have to give you the old walk-off music.
I tell you what, Josh...
Come on, Craig!
Give him a hook! Take the hook with dignity!
No dignity.
That's two calls Josh from Ohio is great. Now.
Josh rules, but he
two
was...
from Ohio.
I'm going to tell you what. I love Josh. Josh is a great guy. He's been a fan... He's been a listener, a loyal listener from day one. He is my friend. He put that hot take in on the DMs. He was really working hard for laughs on that one.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Eric. I'm calling from New York.
Eric from New York. One of your neighbors, Jeff.
What's going on, Eric?
What's going on, guys? I just want to say thank you. My question is, what do you do? Hey guys, can I ask you a question? What do you do with your swarf water? What do I do with that thing?
You know what? That's a very good question because I put mine down the drain. I'm sure you're not meant to.
I'll tell you, I fucking hate swarf changeout day. I take the bucket outside and I'll pour the water out into the driveway. It's an area of the driveway that's not very whatchamacallit, and then I'll have a bag. Like a contractor bag, and then I'll lump the big, disgusting puck of swarf into the garbage bag. It makes a thump, and then I'll put my hands through it to just kind of see if I lost it, like a file guide, pop off, or you know, if you sometimes a you know like a carbide a pop off. I'm just making sure I don't throw something bad out, or like a screw or something.
I mean, I basically do the same thing. I try to pick sunny days to do it on so that swarf, that steel wool kind of at bottom of the bucket has a chance to dry out a bit before I mess with it. And if it's not going to be sunny for a while, I actually have an extra bucket in the shop that I keep in the grinding room where my air is ventilating all the time. And so it's allowed to kind of like evaporate and get some of that excess moisture off before I decide where I'm going to... You know, I've taken that swarf to like the dump or just throw it in the garbage or whatever. But I'll tell you one key or crucial thing that I think I've seen Mert Tanzu and some of those Aussies do are they use it to make their own tamahagane. They're repurposing that into steel because you put it down through the smelting chimney and it kind of gets all the, you know, abrasive shit out and all those metal starts to melt and you can reconstitute it into steel again and then use it.
That's what they say. They're Aussies. They drink the shit. I bet you they're drinking it.
They're probably drinking it and washing their armpits with it and all that good stuff.
If you were doing like stainless and carbon, would it make a difference?
You know, I don't know. It might, but it might not.
Eric, what do you think? What do you think? What do you do with your swarf bucket, Eric?
I have a big collection. I haven't done anything with it yet.
Maybe we should call Emiliano Carrillo if I take it off your hands. He'll turn it into, like, who knows what he'll turn it into.
He'll turn it into a sword.
Yeah.
What are you drinking, Eric?
I was drinking a Coors Light just in case Ben Storr caught me on here. He wouldn't get mad at me. You know, Coors Banquet, not like
her. Oh, very good. You're very good. Very good.
Friday afternoon. Eric,
Thank you guys.
Your time's up, I'm afraid.
I'm playing with my new Even Heat that I got. Thanks to you all. Thank you.
You're the man.
You guys rule.
Even Heat fan. Nice one. Speak to you soon,
Eric. He got the Even Heat from us? It's awesome. Look at you. Ooh, yeah. That's why every time I see the Even Heat guys, they want to tongue kiss us.
Yeah. That's the kind of call we like.
Yeah.
Genuine
that was a good
questions.
Call. That was a good. I didn't know about the Swarf Bucket Tomahawk.
Mahogany.
Tomahama Mama.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good question because I have been just been putting it down the drain, and I probably shouldn't be. Yeah.
Oh, I collect mine until there's like 10 pounds of shit in the bottom of the bucket. It's a 5-gallon bucket, so it just loads up.
Oh, dude, this is the my bucket. I got the TikTok leggings of Swarf buckets. I'm shoving it all in there.
Oh, jeez.
Fucking all getting in there. I got pop.
I'm sort of emptying mine daily. Because I use my Swarf bucket. I use as my dip bucket as well. So I need it to be clean. Otherwise, I'm just loading the belts with more crap, you know? So
you're tighter
shall
than
we
I am
read
because I use it as my dip bucket too.
Oh, and
I
just
I've been letting it build up for like the last year.
my shit is fucking filled. It is filled.
No.
Disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting.
Right. Two good calls. I mean,
Two good calls.
And Josh.
This is really awkward because, as I say, I've got the video and I can see them. So when you two guys are talking, there's just this weird eye contact between me and the caller. And, yeah, it's very strange. So I started off with a very big glass of wine. It's virtually empty just because it's awkward. I'm like, I'll just have a drink while I'm waiting, you know?
Was Josh sitting on his anvil listening to Pearl Jam?
No, he wasn't. We got a call. Hello, who are you and where are you from?
Hello, I'm from France.
From France.
Yes.
Are you a rugby fan, Paul?
Yes.
Oh, we got it. You got to go, mates. Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye.
Oh my God! You just hung up on him because he's a rugby.
He's here. I'm joking. Good. I'm joking. How can we help you, Paul? I think he may have gone. I think he may have been really offended by what I said.
Paul, are you there?
I think he's gone. I was only joking, Paul. If you get to hear this on Monday, I was only joking.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right, well, that's, you know. It's live radio, guys. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think a big problem was the connection there. He was stuttering all sorts. The video was, so I don't know what was going on. So, anyway, where were we? Questions? Yes, should we just read from the list? We've got hundreds.
Sure. Yeah. So this is, hey, man, can I ask you a question? This is the part of the show. Obviously, we've been trying to take the live calls and take some questions. Some people have questions. Some people don't. But we're going to take some of these written in questions to the podcast webs or Instagram. If you want to send us a DM.
Contact us via DM at Knife Talk on Instagram. It's that easy.
And we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram.
I'll kick it off with this first question from Kyle Blade and Tool. He says, hey, guys, I'm hoping you can help with a decision. I've been making knives for a few years now as a hobby and have pretty much reinvested all of my earnings into upgrading my equipment. I just recently completed a large, to me, order of 12 bushcraft knives and want to use the money I made to buy an Even Heat kiln. I think I've decided on the LB22.5 model.
We can take it.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
We're in Clarendon, Texas.
Holy shit. It's fucking Ben Snure.
How are you, Ben?
I've got beef, gentlemen.
Oh, live beef.
All right. So I went to mail a package today, and I, as usual, do it online, and then I print a label, and I go and I drop the package off at the post office. But today, my printer was fucked up, so I couldn't print it, and I think, well, I can just go to the post office, and they'll print this shit for me. But I get there, and this camel toe tells me, no, we cannot do that for you. To me, that's like saying, all right, I'm going to deposit my PayPal money into the bank, and then the bank telling me, no, you can't use that money, only online. That was it. Y'all have a good one.
Wait, don't go anywhere.
Wait.
Come on, Ben.
All right, well, I was just trying to, get what I had to say in quick and get out.
All right, well, you're the man.
Is that it, Jeff?
I mean, hell, y'all want to discuss this? Do we need to hash this out? How shitty the post office is?
The post office is terrible. I understand what you're saying. I don't think that they want to do printing services for you. You know?
I don't think they do. They don't want to do anything for you.
Well, you know what, Ben? Just before you called, we had Eric on the line from New York. And he was drinking a Coors Light. And the reason he was drinking a Coors Light, he said, because he didn't want to offend you. That was his reason for drinking. So you've been mentioned on the show already.
Yeah, well, you know, the women around here drink light beer, too.
There we go. For that, you deserve some walk-off music.
Oh, Ben, you're the man.
Adios, gentlemen.
Bye. Cheers.
That is the cowboyest dude of all time. That's a champion call.
Legend.
Ladies and germs, that's a championship call. He knew exactly what he was going to do, and he did it. No fumfering around.
All good. Sorry, Mareko.
So the guy, Kyle, yeah, Kyle wants to get a oven. He made some money. Yeah. Wants to get an oven. Okay.
Yeah, and he's looking at the 22.5 model, and it says, since I plan to keep this oven for a long time, my question is, what controller do I get? Do I splurge on the top of the line tap controller, go cheap with the standard Set Pro, or go middle of the road with the Ramp Master? Any insight you have would be much appreciated.
I think you've got both, haven't you, Jeff?
I only have the Tapmaster, and the Tapmaster is very, very inexpensive considering the whole product. It's only like a couple hundred bucks more. Yeah. It's so worth it. The tap control is the best because it's super easy to read. You can store all your programs in it. They also have digital updates, and you can get a dongle and then download the Tap Control app. So you can monitor it from your phone, and people say, "Well, you shouldn't be leaving your shop." But if you have a little bit of time, it'll tell you where you are. You can't turn it on from your phone, but you can monitor. Like, let's say it takes 2 hours to get to wherever you need to, you know, your thing, and you need to run to the post office. You have a bearing. You can see it on your phone where you're at. So, I think the Tap Control is extraordinary. Easy to read, easy to program, easy to edit. I love the Tap Control.
I had it on mine. I've got the Ramp Master 2 on mine, which is great. But what I find myself doing is every time I need to set a temperature, I'm reprogramming each time because I always forget what's what. Because you store them by a number as opposed to a name, which I know you can with a tap. So every time I was unsure what number is what, so I end up reprogramming it every time. And it's just like, just a bit of a pain. Yeah, if you can go for it, get the tap. And if you get your discount using Soul Ceramics, it's paying for itself, so... Go for it.
Right. Yeah, I always had the Set Pro until I got my 27-inch LB, and that tap is awesome. But, you know, the Set Pro did work, but I think ultimately, you know, for overall value and possible, like, resale value down the road, you know, the Tap Control, I think, is the best thing for you because of everything that Jeff and Craig had already said.
Here's the hardest part, as you know, most of our listeners are not, their last name is not Wusthof. You know, we're all trying to figure this out, and we're trying to save money where we can. The hardest part is to make the decision, and the two big decisions that people don't make because they don't want to spend the money is getting the better tap, getting a tap control, or getting a VFD. Once you get those, you're just like, I don't know why I thought it was a bad idea. You know, a couple hundred dollars now, or, you know, is going to save you just so much energy. So much energy.
Yeah. We talked last week about multipliers, didn't we? About, you know, certain things that'll help you just be so much more productive. And, yeah, I can imagine a tap certainly would be for me. as it would be for many others, because you can get on with other stuff and knowing that, you know, you've got everything under control and you can see it on your phone if you need. But yeah, as you say, VFD as well, it's a massive multiplier.
And they have like upgrades, like they have like they can give you upgrades in the software, so it's like there are all these updates. It's great.
It's the Tesla of ovens.
I'll tell you, and I got great service. I actually, at my first Even Heat, I noticed that I was having problems with my thermocoupler, and I sent them, I thought that the temperature was a little bit weird. I had it for like 7 years. I sent a message to Spence, and he had a new thermocoupler to me in 2 days. And the other thing is they're super easy to replace. Mm-hmm. Like, they have all the little things if you need. That and if let's say you do what I do and you break all the little pins on your little tray, you can buy them from them too, direct. But they're great and they're super helpful, and definitely send them a message if you have a question.
Yeah. Cool.
Perfect.
Here we go.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Nate Zimmerman of
Nate, I'm afraid.
Nate, get yourself some good service, man. Come on. You're in fucking Milwaukee. Get yourself some good service. You sound like shit. Nate, go stand by the router.
Can't hear, I'm afraid.
Nate, go stand by the router or something. Come on, man.
He's
the
gone.
Pride of Milwaukee, for Christ's sakes. Jesus.
That's a problem right we're getting. A few people calling up and with bad signals and bad Wi-Fi,
guys,
whatever it may be.
Here's the problems that we're going to have to deal with on this podcast. We're going to have to deal with how do we do a question without it getting interrupted by a phone call, and then how do we make sure that the phone sound good? This is like radio shit right here. But so far, so good.
So far, so good. Okay. Before we go into the next bit,
Combat Abrasives make the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers, available in any size and at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with the promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now!
Wandering Priest says, hot take, Live Edge wood projects are for lazy woodworkers who want to charge more money for less.
Mm-hmm.
Wandering Priest is not a man of the cloth. P.S. I always thought he was, and then he gets a little bit too. He doesn't turn the other cheek. You know what I'm saying? He's a spiteful revenge guy.
not a cheek turner.
He's not a cheek turner. See, I think Wandering Priest, I'm thinking to myself, oh, he's a man of the cloth, and then all of a sudden he's just like, hey, you lazy fuckers. Citizen Metalwork says, here's a hot take. Most knife makers know about as much about the functional use of kitchen knives as line cooks know about making knives, which isn't a damn thing. Last two. Chris Adams says, here's a hot take. You don't need to be a chef to know that food tastes like shit. Dig the show. Thanks. That's pretty funny. And then this one is my favorite in a long time. This one comes from Noah NJ Knives. Here's a hot take. Forged in Fire would be a fuck ton more entertaining with you fuckers as the judges and owner Kaglar as the host.
He tags, this is an
old school listener. He tags at the end with PS, sorry, Mrs. Stelter, for the salty language. That was a fucking perfect hot take and a real listener. Yeah. So can you imagine if the three, I tell you what, I would never say anything disparaging about the guys from Forge and Fire because they're whatever it takes to get on TV and make some money. But I'm telling you this, and I would. Are you giving me the hook? Oh, there we go. Oh. Here we go.
Who are you, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Goff. I'm from Battleville, Utah. I'm up here in Heber, Utah, right now, hanging out. I got a question for you guys today.
Sure, go for it, Sam.
All right, I am a freshman in high school right now. I'm looking to grow so that I can do this full time after high school.
What? Oh, wait, hold on a second. Are you on speakerphone? We couldn't hear you. Say it one more time.
You on speakerphone there, Sam?
I just got you guys in my headphone. All right, we're good now. All right. So I'm a freshman in high school.
He's in a bathroom.
And I am looking to No, I'm just in an old building.
Okay.
And I'm looking to grow my company so I can do this full-time after high school. So what tips you guys got?
To grow your company. What kind of knives do you make, Sam?
Hunting and bushcraft. I just expanded a little bit into kitchen knives. About to get a grinder so I can do that more.
Okay. Just starting out, guys. What do you think? Growing the business from, you know, basically just starting out. What are your hot takes, or your hot tips, rather?
I would say, because you're so young and you don't have any bills to pay, your best move is to... What the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? Just hang on. I'm about to answer your question. I'm about to say, just keep quiet. You asked the question, and I'm going to answer the question. I know that you're a freshman in high school, but just calm down. Just stop moving around. We're trying to do a podcast here, man. Listen. Just listen to me. I'm going to give you some good advice. Just calm down. You want to start? I'm sorry. That was a little bit. I got a little aggressive, and I apologize. But just stop moving. Fine. So here's what you got to do. You just have to keep making knives, and you don't have any bills to pay. So your best bet is to keep getting better and better. And then as you work on the technique, as you're younger, it's going to be easier to transition into business.
Makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and just remember, every knife you make is going to be far better than that last knife. So as long as you keep making and making and making, you'll just find, you know, over the course of a year, if you look back at that knife from a year ago, the difference is unbelievable. So yeah, just keep making and making, and I'm sure you'll see massive improvements.
And I'm sorry for scolding you. It was really unnecessary. I apologize.
All right, yeah.
Thank you.
So Sam,
all right, see you guys.
Sam, so are you off school at the moment, or are you on break?
Right now.
Yeah, he's
Jesus
gone.
Christ. I just yelled at him, solid.
I thought you were about to call him a little bastard.
I almost did. I don't know what he was doing. He was like in an oil drum playing with pickup sticks. I don't know what the hell he was doing. So back to that last hot take.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I love the idea. The idea of us doing a show like that and having Honor Kaglar being the host. God damn, that would be funny, wouldn't it?
It would be so much fun. And you know what? There's going to be a point where, you know, the three of us, we've never got together. The three of us have never actually met all together. But there's going to be some point where we do, and whether, you know, maybe one day we put on an event or something like that, we should do something like that, almost like a comedy sketch version of like Forged in Fire. I think we'd have so much fun.
The thing is, it would be much more realistic if it wasn't so. I love what those guys are doing, but at the same time, it's just like the problem is these production companies, they're so formulaic, and it's just like it's such a bore. It's like every time is the same thing over and over again. Why don't you have some real funny conversations? You know, it's just like, you know, why did you cut your hair that way? I mean, that would be the, you know, what's going on with that? You know, your zipper's down. What's going on with that? Whatever.
Why are you dressed as a Viking? Yeah, there's one every week, isn't there? There's a Viking every week.
And then, I mean, then we have like the monster. You have Honor Kaglar standing there. Oh, yeah. God, that would be fucking great.
I will fucking kill you.
He ain't afraid of anybody. He's tougher than any of those guys anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Could be cool. Mm. Do we have any tips this week?
We do. We have unsolicited advice. Okay. So basically, If you want to give us unsolicited advice, it's usually call. We have different names for it. It has been, hey man, you know what you should do. And then there now it's, I know what you did. I know you didn't ask, but basically it's just unsolicited advice. This one comes from our man, Caleb Gant says, hey cuties, I know what you didn't ask, but you should buy Pakistani replicas of your knives and resell them. Saves time and money.
Oh my God.
W. Crumb says, here's some unsolicited advice. I know you didn't ask, but I think you guys should make some t-shirts with lightning bolts and high fives on them. That's what we had done. We had been on two t-shirts. The first one was the Knife Talk t-shirt, and then the next one was it just turned out to be, it was, I did a drawing of what it, you know, a hand pick with lightning bolts and a crack in it, and it ended up, you know, it does look like lightning bolts and high fives, but it's a pain in the ass. It's a pain in the ass. All right, Dave T. Sino says, I know you didn't ask, but exploding discs. You'll usually see an expiration date printed on the center ring of the disc, formatted in a month and a year. Smaller or ringless discs may have a date printed on the packaging, disc labels, or even on the disc itself, and it will be a maximum of 3 years from the manufacturing date. Thanks me later. Keep up the great work. Regards from Switzerland. That's DL Knives. So I didn't know that, but I mean, we were talking about exploding knives, exploding discs on your right angle grinder, and I guess there are expiration dates, so no one's going to keep looking. I mean, this ain't spoiled milk. I mean, you're going to be smelling the bottle here. I mean, you guys are putting those motherfuckers in. You don't give a shit. You know, well, I'm a month out of date. I better throw this away. No way. Yeah. Let's fucking
just. If you
need
one, you grip one. Yeah.
You just put an extra cup in your pants and just hopefully hope for the best.
Tune Tom's... in, turn it up, and rip off the knob.
And if you're using an expired disc, it might rip up the knob for you. Tom Scott says, here's some unsolicited advice. You know what you should do? Clean up your shop in the morning before you start, rather than the end of the day when you've had enough and you want to go home. I've done that before. I do like cleaning up in the afternoon, so when you come in the next day, you have a nice fresh start.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how you can be so much more productive as well? I don't know, it's just like a weight off your mind, I think. If everything's tidy... Yeah, it's like also like a tidy mind, you know. You can just get to stuff. And I don't mean like physically, you know. You're not stepping over shit. I mean, your mind is in a better place too. Yeah, I just wish I was tidier. Really do.
I tell you what, I cleaned my shop up and I made it so much better. I also had my business partner Tony brought his family over, and it kind of made me want to make sure the shop was in good shape. And it really was. It really kind of made me. It clean your shop up. It just makes you feel like more of a human being.
Yeah. I've got some unsolicited advice. If you're going to be doing hand sanding, you're going to want to use Rhino Wet by Indasa. It's the best sandpaper out there. It's what us guys use. It's what most of our listeners are using already, let's face it. And if you aren't, you need to get on the train quickly. It's the stuff to use. It just saves you time, saves you money. And you can get it from Texas Farrow Supply, which is texasfarrowsupply.com. Not only do they do Rhino Wet by Indasa, they do lots of other stuff for knife makers too. So go have a look, texasfarrowsupply.com. And if you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off your order. So you'd be a fool not to.
Bond Creek Forge says, hey guys, I have some unsolicited advice. Since Jeff mentioned his safety glasses fogging, I was a scuba diver and we used this anti-fog spray called Frog Spit. I use it for knife making too, so I don't fuck my fingers up in the grinder like Mareko. Shot across the bow there. You get the Frog Spit.
I'm confused.
Frog Spit? Is that the product
I think
name?
He's talking about his eye protection, and then he started talking about hands. I think he's got to get his question or his bullshit tip right.
He was just making a joke saying don't fog your glass up and you won't fuck up your hands.
Oh,
but yeah. He was just trying to make a...
I guess.
He was just trying to make a joke. We're okay, Bond Creek. Not funny. Frog spit. Go get yourself some frog spit. Put in Knife Talk 10. Get yourself 10% off on frog spit.
Oh, jeez. I keep pressing these wrong buttons.
Thank God.
Got a call.
Hey, Craig.
Hello, CN Knives. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're good. How can we help you?
I had a question about AEBL stainless. So I have a little bit of extra in my basement, but I don't have a cryo tank. I was wondering if when you're making like a chef's knife with AEBL, does it necessarily need to have the cryo treatment, or is just like a traditional heat treat good enough since it's not being put to such hard use?
Good question. I mean, AEBL, I don't really get over here in Europe. And I know, speaking to Aaron Goff, that he's having a massive struggle trying to find big stocks at the moment. So if you've got any spare, it's like gold dust at the moment. Yeah, but
let me know.
Jeff, you use it, I think, don't you? Do you have any cryo with your AEBL?
I'll tell you what. I got some cryo. I got some AEBL, and I've had a couple of instances where I had success to the point where I felt like I didn't need to do the cryo. And then I did a batch of it where everything went soft. And I called the New Jersey Steel Baron, who got on the phone with me, and they said, you're going to need some cryo to kind of bump it up a little bit. I don't know the exact extent of it, but it got to the point where I thought, I don't need this in my life. I need to know I need it or I don't need it. So I stopped using AEBL, but I want to use it again. I did get I do have a Dewar, and I had it filled up, and I basically it was so expensive. I thought, all right, I'm going to make knives out of all the AEBL I have. So I actually have a lot of blanks that I heat treated and then cryo just so I don't run out. But I'm under the impression that you can use dry ice and what is it, Mareko, instead of getting
isopropyl alcohol.
Is that just regular denatured alcohol or?
It's a little. I mean, I think you can also use denatured alcohol, but I think that is a pretty common thing to do, is to do what a lot of people dubbed dryo. So because they're using the dry ice, and it'll get down to I think about a negative 120 degrees Fahrenheit, which will do the trick. I will say in Laren Thomas's book, Knife Engineering, he does have an alternate heat treating regimen if you're not going to do either a cryogenic treatment or a dryo treatment. So you would basically heat treat from, I think it's about 1925. You'd have to go look at the book and double check that. So if you're not doing a cryo, you heat treat from 1925, and if you are doing a cryo, then you bump that up to like 1975, and then you would follow that with a cryo treatment. So, and also a quick shout
cool.
out.
Thank
to
you.
A quick shout out to Mr. Laren Thomas. He has some new steel. He's got the knife engineering book, but he also he collaborated with Crucible Steel to make who makes CPM like one CPM 154 and steels like those. He's got a new engineered cutlery steel called Magna Cut that he designed himself. We might have to get him back on here to talk about that and figure out what that's all about.
Yeah, and we mentioned Aaron Goff was struggling to get AEBL, so he was looking at the Sandvik 14C28, which I believe has very similar properties. Yeah. And I know with that, it also benefits from just a deep freeze. So you don't have to go full cryo and deep freeze as in sort of minus 5 degrees C in like a home freezer. It benefits in some way. So whether AEBL will do the same, I don't know. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of technical sheet out there. And if it's not in Dr. Laren's book, maybe take a swing for that too.
I do have the book. I'm just not. I haven't gotten to that part yet. But I live in a Philly row home, so I don't want to blow up my house with the cryo tank. So that's a good advice. Thank you, guys.
I got a question for you. Who makes the best? Who makes the best steak? Philly cheesesteak.
I often tell people to just go to any random food truck on the street, and they usually do it better than any restaurant or spot you can go to in Philly.
Look at you.
There we go. You're not even getting a playoff. You're getting a...
Dude, that's a high-level call right there.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye.
I pulled it up in the book. I got the book in front of me, and it does say, so for no cryo, heat treat from 1925, and if you are going to cryo, 1975.
Nice. Mm. Cool. So you got that book at hand.
Yeah.
I'm at the shop.
I keep forgetting it's not evening for you guys, is it? It's like middle of the day.
Yeah.
As I'm chugging my third wine. Yeah.
I know. I was going to say, I thought I heard you topping off again over there.
Topping off? Easy.
Well, I have some more unsolicited advice if you want it.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
This one comes from Black Cap. This one comes from Black Cap Blades. I know you didn't ask, but you guys should really listen to shows on the Makery Network, especially the Full Blast podcast. Every week, I look forward to hearing about other interesting makers and artists and how Jeff's dad traumatized him in his youth each week.
Do you remember when you guys first come onto the show? So the week before, Jeff, you interviewed me.
Right.
Remember, because before it was very much sort of an interview show. I'm not saying for me to do it. I'm not the man to do it. But I think you need to be interviewed on yours because they go deep. You go deep psychologically. So we need somebody who can do the same to you. We need to find out what's gone on
Who's going to do it, though?
I know. We need to find someone. Yeah.
I mean,
to go deep. We need to make you cry on your own show.
No one's crying on my show. And I just lead people down a road. I have legitimate questions, and that's it. That's it. The next one comes from Saf Raz Aladdin. I know you didn't ask, but all of you still are underestimating TikTok. All my sales have come from there. And my work isn't exactly cheap. The community there is heavily engaged and easily within your price range. Over 1 billion users, and you think you can't find an audience? You're dreaming. I don't think he's selling leggings.
Yeah, what is he selling exactly? Yeah. I can't get on with it. He's like... It was all said in this week's, I don't know if you listened to the Work For It podcast, again with Brian House and Ben Butler. They went into it about, because they had Brian's son on, who was a lot younger, so they were asking him about TikTok and stuff. And what they said was completely wrong. True. I can't get past all of the, just like the young girls and the, you know, half-naked things. And it's just like, that's all I seem to see. And it's, the thing is on TikTok, I don't, like, follow anybody. So I just had this account, and I was just seeing, like, the main screen, the front screen, you know? And that's all that was being shown. I was just like, how are you going to get through this shit, you know? Nobody's going to want to see, you know, me hand sanding when they've got, you know, girls with, you know, very little clothes on, you know, which one I'd be rather watch, you know? And it's, how do you get through all that? That's the difficult thing. I'm too old. I just don't get it.
One thing is, I've been looking through the reels on Instagram, and sometimes it's interesting. Like, we've gotten actually some good recipes from reels. Some real keepers. But then all of a sudden it's like, it's the same kind of people doing the skits, but they're all the same. And I just can't get past how weird it is. Like, this is all they're doing is just lip syncing and then doing these skits. But there's no creativity. It's all the same. And it's just shocking to me that it's like, what's, you know, it's so dumb. I can't get past it.
It's weird. Really weird.
Here's one from Tim Barker. I know you didn't ask, but I have made 1.6 knives at this point, and I have a suggestion. And that's all he wrote.
1.6.
Yeah. Zane Beard says, I know you didn't ask, but in regards to metal chop saw blades, I personally use these blades, and they are diamond abrasive, like the ones... Mareko uses on his 4.5-inch angle grinder. They aren't very expensive, but they do last much longer than a regular abrasive disc. Thanks for the great podcast. Solid Grind says, hey guys, I have some unsolicited advice for you. When drilling holes in wood / stabilized handles, don't use metal bits. Because of the inhomogeneous structure, they will drift. Use wood drills just like these well-educated woodworkers do, and you'll get much better results. Thanks for the podcast. Always having a good time. Solid Grind. Thank you. Here we are.
We've got a call. Who are
you? Hey, Craig.
Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Adam from Biltshire.
Adam, how are you?
Dude.
I'm doing great.
Good stuff, good stuff. Jeff and Mareko on the line.
How you doing, Adam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What's going on?
I got a joke for you.
Okay,
if you wanna, yeah? Well, here, look, I got two. Don't give me the hook for the first one. It's short. Give me, like, you know. Okay?
Yeah, no problem.
This is a joke about three guys, so I thought it'd be perfect for you all. Okay? So there's these three big muscle jerks, and they're building a house. And they're, like, the most ripped guys you could ever imagine. So they decide, let's have a contest to see which of us is the strongest. But there's not a whole lot there to measure this. It's a big pile of brick. So each one of them picks up a brick, throws it up in the air, and it lands in the mud. And then they're going to say, whoever's brick goes deepest is the strongest. So the first guy throws the brick up, goes in the mud about a foot, and everybody's pretty impressed. It was a nice throw. Second guy really winds up, throws it up in the air, goes like 3 feet into the mud. Third guy steps up, picks the brick up, and he's got technique. So he'll put it against his cheek, like he's going to throw a discus, and starts to spin and spin, and launches the brick all the way up in the air. Never comes back down.
Oh, that's the joke. Oh, sorry. No.
All right. Well, okay.
What's the punchline?
Okay. It never came back down. That's all. I'm sorry. I thought that was funny.
Okay. Right, one strike. That's one strike.
All right. All right. Okay. So, the second joke. We've got a lady going to the airport. She's moving. She's got all her belongings in a backpack. There's like one carry-on. She's got a baby, and she's got her parents. So you can't take a parent on a plane normally. However, we've got a really awesome discount airline where pretty much anything goes. You can get on the airplane. So she packs her one carry-on, her baby, and her parrot, and gets on the airplane. Well, sitting next to her is a guy smoking a cigar who's enjoying the anything-goes attitude of the airline. And the baby is crying. It cannot take the cigar smoke. So she starts pestering him, like giving him a look, doing some, making it awkward for him. And finally he asks, like, lady, what's your problem? Why can't you shut that baby up? She's like, are you kidding me? The cigar smoke is so intense. I don't know how he couldn't be offended by it. So the guy reaches across her, opens up the airplane window, throws the cigar out. The baby goes flying out of the airplane window too. So the parrot starts out of the airplane. The whole cabin is under, like, stress. Nobody knows what's going on. The captain of the airplane comes back to figure out what the problem is. They finally get the window shut, and the pilot is so irritated, threatens to kick them off the airplane if anything else happens. And now a woman is, like, freaking out. Her baby just flew out of the airplane, right? So the pilot goes back into the cockpit, gets on the radio, when all of a sudden he hears a... And he looks out the window, and there's the parrot. And what do you think he's got in his mouth?
Cigar.
No, the brick. Thank you.
All right, get off this phone, goddammit.
You pulled it back.
You fucking did it. I was worried. God damn it. God damn it. Get off my phone. Jesus Christ.
Have a great night.
See ya. I was getting nervous. I was
my finger was twitching on that button for about 3 minutes there.
Like, this shit if it wasn't Adam from Built Sharp, he wouldn't put one thing in the mud. Christ.
Okay. That's a bit of a relief there. We went somewhere with that one. Okay, let's relax a little bit. Let's just relax. End of the show. This week, what's the big plan? What we got going on? And, where would you like to be this time next? Let's start with Mareko.
Well, weekend's coming up. Tomorrow is my daddy dude hangout day. I found some plans for a little picnic table that's like built out of 1x3s. It's like little kid size picnic table. So I think we're going to try to do another shop project and whip that together and get the dude using like a drill gun and stuff like that, screwing in screws and whatnot. It should be fun. I will say,
I see a little YouTube series here of making stuff with your son.
Right. Well, and yeah, I've thought about it. I think it would be fun. And then also, I discovered there's this new barbecue spot in town. They just pop up randomly. They call themselves No Label, and it's the best barbecue I've ever eaten in my life. And so I'm crossing my fingers that they're operating this weekend, so I can pick up some barbecue because I want some. It's so good. But really, I got this, like, knife wise, I got this sword coming up. I gotta do the finish grinding and kind of get it ready for hand sanding, which is going to be a bear because it's a lot of real estate. So I just gotta hopefully keep my head on straight and pay attention so I don't screw anything up in the finish grinding, because it's a really important one. That's it.
And Jeff and I, we've had a sneak preview of this sword, and we're not going to say anything about it apart from it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Totally incredible.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll go next and we can let Jeff play us out. This week, it's quite a big one. So, yeah, I'm working all weekend now to get this order out with the mule on Monday. And then
don't call your mother-in-law the mule. The mule.
Yeah. Next week there's not much shop time next week. It's all sort of work on the new house. So we're hoping to get our bar finished by the end of next week, as in like completely fitted out. I had this amazing, I don't know whether you have them in the US, but literal pumps. They're called beer engines, the actual hand pumps instead of a tap.
Sure.
To get like real sort of draft beer, you know, especially sort of darker beers, you know, that kind of thing. So I had one of them delivered this week, and it's the most beautiful. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. So I've got a bunch of beers that are being brewed at the moment. We're hoping to have a sort of launch day the end of next week, because we still can't go anywhere here. There's obviously the bars and restaurants are all closed, but there's a curfew still as well. So it was 6 p.m., but last weekend they changed it up to 7 p.m., so at least now we have a 7 p.m. curfew. But because this bar is going to be in our garden on our sort of property, we could stay there as long as we want because, it's part of our property. So we can have nights out, if you like, by going to our pub. So, yeah, we're hoping to get that fitted out by the end of next week.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be fun. And also the big news is it's actually the game is playing right now. So Scotland against France, the final game of the Six Nations. At the moment, Wales are leading the championship, but there's a chance that France could nick it from us, just as they did last week. But they could nick the championship from us. So we're half hour in. So as soon as we finish, I'm going to get off and watch the end of the game. So I'm hoping for a bad result for France, which means a good result for Wales. Jeffrey.
Well, the Full Blast Podcast finally bought me something. I got my new bandsaw just showed up, and the shipper just left it in the driveway, which I'm not thrilled about. So I'm going to put that together this weekend.
Nice.
My kid just passed her driver's permit exam within the last hour. So we're going to be doing like legit driving training now. Sweet. And then,
So this is like a pre-license,
yeah,
I assume.
A permit, so she can drive in the car with a parent or a licensed driver. So we're going to be doing before we were like doing it on the down low. Yeah. And then I just got good things going on. I got some steak knives to finish up, and it was a good week, a very productive week. But I wanted to send out a listener of ours, Fox River Blades. That's Fox_River_Blades, Jaden Schubert. He was in a car accident with his family a few weeks ago, and he's been in the hospital for a while. And he's about as upbeat as you can get, considering he's not in great shape. So we are, he sends stuff to the podcast. He's been listening to the podcast for a long time. He's a very strong young man, and we are all sending you our best regards for a very safe and speedy recovery for you and your family. Go follow him, you know, send him good vibes. Make sure he knows that we're a good community and we're in it for him. So Jaden, we're thinking about you and we're hoping that you kind of like, you know, I appreciate how good of a attitude you have, and you're very strong, and you're going to get through this. And we're sending you good vibes for a speedy recovery.
Definitely.
Fox, yeah. River Blades. Go check him out. Just give him some love.
Cool. Okay. I think that's a show. Thank you all for listening. Again, if you want to call in next week, remember, you need to follow us on Instagram. And if you go to like DM us, you'll then see the little icon saying
at a specific time.
Yeah, please don't call like days after or like in the middle of the night, like 6 hours later, because it is a real pain in the ass. The three of us get notifications and the three of us phones are ringing. It's a nightmare. So yeah, specified times. We'll always put it up on our stories the day or two before. But yeah, if you've got any tips, any jokes, or you want to ask us a question, get on the show. We'll have a good time.
We got some high level people. We had Josh Scott. We had Ben Snoer. We had Adam from Built Sharp. We had a pile of guys. We had like another four or five people call.
Yeah. And loads that we had to decline is because we were in the middle of stuff. And it was, yeah. Right. So, yeah, if you're not getting through, try again, you know? But yeah, thank you all for listening. And we shall speak to you all again next week.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Man, so sorry about it. My connection just dropped halfway through. I don't know what was going to... And it was right as we were saying about other people having bad connections ringing in. Then mine dropped.
Did you? Because it's recording now and it says 3344, and I was wondering if it maybe did it again.
No, it did, but then I restarted. We're good. I'll just have a bunch of files.
I hope you don't have to. I hope you don't... I like it the least amount of editing you have to do.
Yeah. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
I was freaking out when Adam was telling that joke because all I could think of is like that first one. I don't get. Maybe I'm too stupid to get the punchline, but that was not good. And I was like, God damn, something better good happened. Come on, man.
And again, he's looking right down the barrel into my eyes. So I've got to pretend I'm enjoying this story. And it was all part of the act, obviously, we know now, because of the second part of the joke. But, jeez.
And our buddy Ashley Childs was trying to FaceTime us.
Really?
I got to get it. She's like, she's trying to FaceTime me. And then we had a few people trying to get in. And Nate Zimmerman was something he's going to try next week. He sent me a thing. He's read off my favorite shop foods to eat. I'm like, just try calling next week. I'm not eating your shop food. Come on, man. Come on, Nate.
Child music.
The hardest part is, see, that's this is so much fun because I mean we had good callers, you know, the callers were good. The hard part is like there's no real way that we can get a lot of people in without it. Just it's got to be shoehorned in while we're talking. There's no other way.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah. And also, we've got no idea about their call quality either until they're literally live, you know.
Yeah.
Right. So we had a few there where the video was stuttering and you know, we couldn't quite understand what they were saying and so on. But
well, we're going to work it out. This is only the second time. I mean, I'm surprised at how many people really like freaked out about the last time. And it was super good. It was super good. Yeah. We'll get better at it. It was fun.
It's a bit of a breath of fresh air for us, I think, because now we're sort of alert throughout the whole show because anything can happen at any point, you know. I think particularly for me.
Just changing the time of the day we're doing it has changed the chemistry of the show.
Yeah. I've got to now go and buy a dictionary because I didn't understand a lot of the words that Marekka was saying. Very intelligent conversation this time of day.
Yeah, love there's you. They're sending you the good questions, man. They're feeding you the good ones, dude. They're feeding you the good questions, dude. I'm surprised because usually like the ones we get DM'd, a lot of them I have to call just because they're either too wordy or too weird. Maybe this gives you a better opportunity for people to ask questions in a very, I think maybe people are better at talking questions out than writing them.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
You know, because ends up becoming harder for us to kind of sometimes understand what they're writing. We have to change that thing up. I think it's great.
Yeah, especially me. No, it's good. I have such a hard time reading people's names, dude, let alone their whole fucking book of a question they send sometimes.
Well, you know, I think
Timmy Nuggets.
I think the problem is like they're, you know, the type of people that makers are is they don't want to be in school, so they just don't really have a lot of them don't have a love of writing. But it gets to the point where you kind of do have to, you know, express yourself to in a editorial way. It's hard, so yeah. I don't. Maybe it's that's just gonna be great.
Fuck! Just read. We didn't do a Brodbeck read. From the show.
Do you want to do a Brodbeck read? You want to do a Brodbeck read right now, and then you stick it in, and then you put it back in the back.
Yeah, go on if you don't mind. I can stick it in somewhere. Yeah,
stick it
yeah.
in. So stick it in somewhere, and then don't edit this part out. And so we'll have it twice.
A 2-for-1. What I need to do, I need to get like a board or something, or just write it down on a bit of paper, so I know that we're going to hit every sponsor every week. Because
and we didn't do the clamp.
We didn't do the clamps either. Oh, fuck no. We'll wait for the clamps next week, and we can give them a good one because they're great. I really like the clamps and stuff.
So did you want me to do a Brodbeck read right now?
Go on, do it.
Okay. Let me tell you about the grinder that I use. Brodbeck Ironworks makes a beautiful 2x72 grinder that is super versatile. It's got a long platen. It goes from horizontal to vertical. All the attachments are very, very user-friendly, intuitive. Both Ryan and Vince do such a great job creating a grinder that everybody can use. It's meant to be a big machine in a small shop. It does everything for you. And if you go to BrodbeckIronworks.com, you put in promo code KnifeTalk10, you'll get 10% off. I promise you, you will not regret it. Not to mention, if you have any questions for Ryan and Vince, for sure, just DM them, and then they'll get back to you. They're doing a great job. And you give me the hook? Go to BrodbeckIronworks.com, put in promo code KnifeTalk10, and get yourself a beautiful 2x72 grinder. They're the best.
They are. That's how it's done. That's how professionals do it, Jeff. Well done.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Job, I mean, I try. I'm looking at it. Looking at it right
you
now.
You know... The amount of messages we've had from people saying, do you realize you haven't pressed stop at the end of the show? I've probably had 5 or 6 again this week.
But you always press stop.
Sorry?
You always press stop, don't you? You always do that.
This is the $1,000 extra behind-the-scenes show, you know?
The cat is out.
Yeah, the cat is out. The cat's out. We can't hide anymore. But I mean, we've been doing this.
Well, then we might get it. We might get an after call. An after show call.
But we've been doing this for maybe 2 months now. Oh, so what's that? 7 or 8 shows. But we're still getting messages from people. Do you know that you carry on talking when you're not pressing stop at the right time, Craig? And I'm like, okay,
I am stunned that people still write that to us.
Yeah.
I think we're hearing all your back office chatter.
Ooh, we got a call. Who's this? Uh-oh. Craig A. Sylvester.
That's not I was supposed to be I Jesse.
Who's on the call?
Craig.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
Oh, doing good, man.
Hi, Craig. I'm Craig. How can we help you with? What? How can...
Yeah, I had a question.
Sorry, I can't speak. I've had a few wines, and I'm empty.
That's good.
Sorry. You've got a question. How can we help you?
Yeah, I don't have a welding machine. What's the best way to hold the metal together when you're trying to make the mask?
Clamps. Morocco. Clamps. Or vice.
Like, what kind? Whoa.
We're getting some feedback there.
Sorry, I have the machine running.
Ah, right, okay.
What could you do? I mean, didn't they used to just use like wire?
Yeah, like a hardier kind of wire. You don't want like a light tie wire. You'd want something with a little bit more body to it to hold the steel together. But usually they also weren't doing like large quote unquote packets of steel. They would do maybe like a 1-inch or 1.5-inch square billet and use tie wire to keep it together. And then and that also keeps the size of the billet manageable, especially if it's only like maybe 6 inches long by 1.5 inches by 1.5 inch. Then you can actually just hold that with like a pair of pickup tongs or something like that. And you don't actually need a handle. But that would be my suggestion.
Okay, like stainless steel tie wire probably would be better.
Sure. Stainless steel tie wires would probably be great. Yeah, because it won't stick. I mean, once you get the initial welds going, you should be able to pull that wire back right off because it's not really going to weld to the material, where high carbon probably, or if it was just like a iron or like a mild steel wire, it would probably want to weld to it.
All right. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for ringing, Craig. Cheers. Bye for now.
All right. Bye.
That was a good call too.
That was a good call. This is like overtime. This is. Do we get paid extra for this?
Speaking of getting paid extra, we got to talk about the Damascus deal thing.
Ah, yes, we do. I've for weeks and weeks now, I've just been putting it off. I just need to get back to it. We've got a month anyway, I think. I think it's end of April kind of time. But yeah, so, I mean, what they're proposing is that we have like a room. So the way, because obviously it's a remote thing, the way it's going to work is everybody's going to have their like remote, if you think of Zoom with different like channels once you dial in, and you can go into different people's channels or rooms. Most of them are obviously knife makers, and they're showing off their knives, and they get to sell their knives and so on. We've got another call.
Another call?
We've got a caller. Who are you, and what can we help you with?
Hello, boys. It's Jesse.
Jesse. How can we help you, Jesse?
So I have a question before I promote my product that I want to sell you.
I dare you.
Dude, if I actually made a product to sell, I wouldn't promote it on your podcast. No. Anyways.
It works for some people. What's wrong with our promotions?
I'm just here for the walk-off music, really. I do have a question, though. It's not a very interesting question, but as someone who has now forged a handful of papers, thank you very much. What advice do you have for someone who wants to make a knife, and not any specific kind, but just wants to make a blade-shaped object? Like, what is something that you're like, oh, definitely don't do this because everyone does that and it's a bad idea?
That's a good one. I'm sure we'll all have an answer for this. I'd say use something that you're going to use yourself to begin with. I don't forge at all myself. Everything that I do is I can't even think of... I've had too much... I can't think of words at the moment. We're 2 hours in and I can't think of words.
What do you do, Craig? No one knows.
It's all stock removal. Got a bottle of wine in him. It's all stock removal. So you need sort of minimal tools for that, I suppose. But if you're going to... Yeah, make something that you're going to use yourself, because then, you know, when you come to make your next knife, you'll know what would make it better because you're using it. And you're like, oh, well, this doesn't work for me. Whereas if you just make something that, you know, looks good, you're never going to use it.
I don't make things that look good. Don't worry about that.
Same here. So then you'd never have to, you know, guess what would make it better, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what I'd say. Jeff, what do you think?
I think you should make a Kiradashi.
Okay.
You know, they're very simple.
Why? Tell me why.
Because they're very simple, and you're the kind of person that likes to put whatever you make in your pockets. So you got pockets all over the place. You got things that are going to fit all over the place. And I could see you making like a little Kiradashi, because I know you do little scrolls and snubs and stuff like that. So you could make a little, get yourself, don't just stay the fuck away from them train spikes. Go get yourself some high carbon steel, and then make a little Kiradashi that you can keep in your pocket. I bet that would be something that you would like.
That seems logical.
Yeah.
I would suggest...
Mareko, what have you got?
I did a Forged in Place series. Little knife as well.
You're breaking up, Mareko, sorry.
It's just a... From a... I don't know why I'm breaking up.
If we got to give
can you
hear
the... me now?
Oh, that was weird.
If we got to give Mareko the walk-off music now, what's going on? I don't know, Mareko, what's happening? I think you are, your connection's going.
Oh,
maybe.
He's muted. He muted himself.
He's gone as well. Okay.
Well.
Okay.
Wow.
We were recording.
Mareko doesn't like me, apparently.
So Mareko is going to say you need a 560-layer Damascus, all done with a little 2-pound hammer.
And some of us can only wield a 2-pound hammer. Don't you go hammer shaming me. How dare you, sir?
So, Jesse, tell us your favorite hammer.
my favorite, like, style hammer.
Wait, you should, it's not recording.
Oh, you mother.
Craig, it's not recording.
Fuck, it's not recording. It's recording my end, at least.
Oh, man.
I think as Morocco left the recording, it's fine. I've got it here. I've got it here. We're good.
All right. So just so this has been a total shit show. Now, Morocco's gone.
Morocco's gone now, yeah.
Should we just finish talking about what we want to do, or?
Do what for? You mean for Dharma Steel?
I just think that, like, I'm looking forward to doing the they're going to be very tight interviews.
Yeah.
Like, the interviews we do with them, they've got a couple guys coming in. We're going to have to really kind of, like, instead of talking like we would talk, it would be more along the lines of, like, interviewing these people for, like, 15 minutes in regards to what Dharma Steel wants.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's a three-hour show, I think. So the majority of the time, we'll just be doing our normal podcast, but we've got these bunch of makers in groups and, you know, in these different rooms, and they'll pop in every now and again, and we'll just have, you know, spontaneous chat with them kind of thing, and, you know, they can be part of the show. But yeah, there's two scheduled sort of talks. So one is with the CEO of Dharma Steel, which would be great because we can ask about, you know, about Dharma Steel, you know, what their future plans are, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think it's 10 or 15 minutes, so it's pretty short. And the other one is with this chef, who we won't name at the moment, but yeah, it's gonna be fun, I think. But yeah, we got 10 or 15 minutes, so, you know, we haven't got much time to, you know, goof about. I suppose it's gonna have to be
very tight.
Yeah, and you know, what are we gonna be asking a chef about knives? You know, what are his favorite knives and why does he like certain types of knives? Well, that kind of thing.
I've been thinking about it actually because I think we're gonna have to be, like, focusing on, you know, pushing it towards why. You know, Dharma Steel direction as opposed to Knife Talk direction.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I think so. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's going to be quite that particular bit is going to have to be quite different for us because it's quite sort of professional. You know, we're doing a proper talk. We'd probably fuck it up. Let's face it.
No, it's going to be. I think it's going to. Well, that's why the listeners need to know that it might be a shit house.
Yeah,
and then we need to kind of, like, come from the ashes like the phoenix and, you know, and, like, really surprise them with how professional we are.
Yeah. You're going to go over, like, psychobabble on him and ask him how he feels about when he was seven. And
we only had 10 minutes. I can barely make it in 2 hours maybe. But listen, this chef, I know this chef. I mean, I don't know him, but I've heard him before. Yeah. We're not going to get an edge word in edgewise. It'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll be great. Okay. I mean, this is perfect because we're going to be able to let him, you know, dictate. He's going to say what he wants to say anyway.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Yeah. Right, I'm going to leave you to see what's happening in the rugby. I've got a shit ton of editing to do before Monday morning.
Well, what do we need to do to make sure that doesn't happen?
I'm so sorry, too.
It's no one's fault. It's just connections. Today it was my connection, and another day it could be somebody else's. It's just, you know, working on the internet. That's all that happens. Yeah, nothing can be done. But, you know, thankfully I've got this backup here, so between the two different sources I can, you know, make it sound as if it's one thing. It'd be fine. It'll be fine.
Well, we got some good callers. We got some high-level callers in this week.
Yeah, I think I'll try and put Jesse's into the main show. This guy, I think, it's quite funny. And, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I'll edit it. It'll be sweet. It'll be good.
All right, you're the man.
Right, have a good weekend, everyone. And
you too, good luck.
Yeah, I should speak to you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Guys. Bye.
Bye.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.